This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Good afternoon. It's 6 minutes past one. Thank you, Matt, for stumbling over that last little bit of the news. He's a wonderful newsreader. Thanks also to the boys from Technogaze. We're getting all juiced up on caffeine. This could be a very quick hour for some of you. So pull over, grab a coffee and stay with us. Yes, we are talking cravings because we do this every Saturday at 1 o'clock. Hello, Pete Dillon with you, taking you through until 2 p.m. We're getting all jazzed up on coffee. You might be able to tell that I've had a couple already. Before we go any further, we've just had a call from the lovely gay and lesbian liaison officer at the Brimbank Council Family Fun Event. If you live in Melbourne's West, get yourselves down to Buckingham Reserve, which is on Buckingham Crescent in West Sunshine. There's face painting and balloons and dogs and all the normal stuff you'd expect at a big family event. There's been a lot of effort put into organising this event. So go on down to the Brimbank Council Family Fun Day. It is happening. It's a midsummer event, of course, happening at the Buckingham Reserve, Buckingham Crescent, West Sunshine. It's still not a bad day to get outside. And before we do go any further, of course, we need to have a little bit of news about what's happening here on Joy.
And now, some words from some very good friends of ours.
Hi there, it's Tanya Doko here. We are celebrating the Summer of Joy, and given that I'm a huge Joy 94.9 fan, I really encourage you to become a member if you're not. So bring it on.
Hi, I'm Charlie Pickering.
And I'm Carrie Bickmore from The Project on Channel 10.
We wanted to remind you that the Joy Mini membership drive is on throughout January, and just sign up and become a member as soon as you can.
There'll be chances to win some great prizes, help celebrate the Summer of Joy and keep the station alive.
Call anytime on 1300-JOY-949 and become part of Australia's only
and best
gay and lesbian radio station.
The Summer of Joy. Win great prizes. Keep this station alive. Become a member now. Call 1300-JOY-949.
G'day, I'm Pete Evans, and you are with Pete Dillon on Cravings on Joy 94.9.
Yes, you are indeed. Thank you, Pete Evans, for popping into the studio just to say that. We've got a big show ahead, and we thought a lovely combination with coffee, because there's a lot going on with coffee, was chocolate. And so my co-host joining me today to help me ask the questions, help me steer this caffeinated bus, is Tad Lombardo from Chocolato Lombardo. Welcome, sir.
Thank you. Thanks for inviting me.
Just nice and close to the mic. It doesn't...
Oh, perfect.
We'll fix that in the break. Good to have you on board. And how kind of you to bring chocolates for the volunteers here at Joy.
Oh, it's the least I could do.
They are beautiful chocolates.
Thank you.
Tell us the Chocolato Lombardo story.
Short version or long version?
Short. We've got about a minute and a half.
Perfect. basically, my background's engineering and did some engineering risk management consulting for about 21 years. Got tired of that and decided that food was really where I wanted to be, and decided it was chocolate, and re-educated myself and realized I was actually quite good at it and could make a career from it. So the last 2.5-3 years, I've been slowly building my company up and trying to have a go at it. So far so good.
And they are beautiful handmade artisanal chocolates.
Thank you.
They're not, you know, it's not Cadbury dairy milk nonsense.
No, it's not. I don't use the C word, so.
Also joining us to talk to us about something that was launched yesterday. It is, in fact, the Melbourne Food and Wine Festival program. You would have got it in yesterday's Age. If you haven't got a copy, we're about to find out where you can pick those up, because I'm sure they will be all over Melbourne, as this festival is. And the festival's CEO, Natalie O'Brien, is in the studio. Welcome back to Cravings.
Good afternoon, Pete. Great to be here.
It seems we have this little relationship every year, you and I, which starts about October when we're talking about Masterclass and goes through until the end of March. And we don't probably see one another for 6 months after that, do we?
No, we're getting over, I think, the 17 days of festivaling.
Well, it's still getting over last year's 20 days, and I can't believe here it is, the festival on our doorstep yet again.
Absolutely. I guess we, of course, launch on the 1st of March and run for 17 days, and it's such a stunning time for Victoria with produce and harvest and, of course, drinking coffee. And I think we're going to talk a lot more about that this afternoon.
We will indeed. The theme for this year's festival?
This year we're celebrating Earth. So off the back of fire last year, we're celebrating all things Earth. So it's grow it, make it, eat it. And the industry have really risen to the challenge in creating a stunning program, all based on Earth. So really, really beautiful program of 200 events.
200.
250.
Compared to...
Look, in previous years, we've really kind of got up around the 300 and 400
mark. Last year was ridiculous.
So
20 days.
20 days and loads of events. So this year's program, I think people will find, the brochure came out yesterday in The Age, that it's much more manageable. There's 250 events that have been curated by some of Melbourne's industry that really resonate and take on board the theme. So 250 events, five of them have already sold out in sort of a couple of hours yesterday, which is great. So make sure you jump online to see what's
because
available.
Because there's very little time left. There's a month.
A month. So we open on Friday, March 1st.
So it's less than that. 4 weeks.
Yeah, because we're on that crazy
that
month of
crazy
February
month,
where we miss out on a day. So 1st of March, it all kicks off. So, jump online and have a look what's there.
And one of the features that will be in Federation Square as part of the Melbourne Food and Wine Festival, this is a world first installation that's going to reinterpret a terraced coffee farm in the middle of Federation Square for people to come and visit. And so somebody who's got his involvement in that and everything else coffee is the very lovely Andrew Kelly from the Auction Rooms in North Melbourne and
Small Batch Roasting Company.
Oh, say that again because I've switched your mic on now.
Hi, Pete. Small Batch Roasting Company as well.
Okay, so you guys roast
Beautiful coffee from Central America in particular and Africa as well. Yeah.
And I read an interesting statistic last night that will appeal to you. Of the 10 biggest consumers of coffee by numbers, there is only one African country that makes that list. Could you guess what it is?
Consuming countries.
Yeah.
It would be Ethiopia.
Oh, give the man a gold star. Hooray!
There's lovely coffee from there, so I'm not surprised at all. It's nice that they consume locally as well. So rare.
And the integration of coffee into the theme of Earth is a fairly easy assumption to make, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I guess it's really right up our alley. And the urban coffee farm, one of the beautiful things about it is that it will bring to the fore one of the means of production of coffee that's never really seen here.
We don't grow it. Well,
precisely. Not very much.
Tiny little bit if we do. So it's a nice way for people to understand its connection, coffee's connection to terroir, to climate, to all of those things that we talk a lot about with wine.
Yeah.
Beautiful. We have a wonderful hour ahead. I'm going to play some messages and we'll be back because we're also going to be talking about the Melbourne International Coffee Expo, which happens here in May. And we'll be speaking to the current Australian barista champion, who I think is about to rack off and jump on a plane. So we need to be very quick. But of course, you can get involved with us today. 0427 Joy 949. You can send an SMS if you have a question for Andrew or Natalie or Tad. You can email on air at joy.org.au if you're at your computer. You can tweet to cravings_joy949 or ring and speak to Heath. He's sitting on the front desk and I think he might be eating chocolate on 1300 569 949. That's 1300 Joy 949. A couple of messages. We'll be back with you in just a shake.
Joy 94.9.
Hi, this is Guy Grossi and you're listening to Joy 94.9.
Yes, you are listening to Joy 94.9. Pete Dillon with you, 1:15 on what's proving to be a very delicious Saturday outside. And delicious, a good word for us because we are speaking about coffee on today's program. Andrew Kelly is here from the Small Batch Coffee Company and the Auction Rooms in North Melbourne. If you haven't been to the Auction Rooms, a very good place to stop and grab a coffee. Good to have you here, Andrew.
Thanks again, Pete.
Natalie O'Brien is here. She is the CEO of the Melbourne Food and Wine Festival. We are talking about a particular event that's happening for the Food and Wine Festival in Queenbridge Square, not Federation Square, because I wasn't paying attention. Queenbridge Square in Southbank, which is the urban coffee farm and brew bar. We're going to talk more about that shortly. Ted Lombardo is here from Cioccolato Lombardo. He's my co-host. And we have somebody on the phone whose very august title is he's the current Australian barista champion. His name is Craig Simon. Good afternoon, sir.
Hi there.
Good to talk to you. Now, I know you're about to jump on the plane, but why are you in Melbourne?
Well, this weekend we've got the Victorian Barista Championships, which is the state prelude to the Australian competition in a month's time.
Yes, which is being held where?
Which is being held at Code Black, which is in Brunswick, in Western Street in Brunswick, which is a new cafe roastery which has just opened, which looks pretty fantastic.
Beautiful. And then this all leads into a little event in May called the Melbourne International Coffee Expo. And for the first time, Australia is hosting
the World Barista Championships, which is very, very exciting.
It is. Now, how many years have the World Barista Champs been running, do you know?
I believe it started around 2001 or something like that. So where are we up to? We're about 12 or 13 years.
And how is a barista judged?
Well, you're judged on your ability to make coffee. So from a technical perspective, your ability to workflow at the machine and your wastage and technical skills and general control. And then you're also judged on the flavour of your beverages. And also you have to display a knowledge and understanding and passion for specialty coffee, understanding of growing practices and varietals and what's going to affect the flavour of coffee.
Andrew, we're going to talk through some of those specialty things after we finish with Craig, but what about a bit of latte art? Is that part of the World Barista Championships?
Absolutely. There's multiple competitions. So there's latte art championships, there's Brewers Cup Championship, which is non-espresso brewed coffee. There is cup tasting, which is the ability to perceive the differences of countries of origin. There's also Coffee and Good Spirits, which is like a cocktail and coffee type of competition. So there's a whole lot of disciplines that are involved.
Who judges these competitions?
Basically, you're judged by peers. So you're judged by people that are certified, that have gone through a fairly rigorous assessment process to calibrate them, but essentially they're all specialty coffee industry professionals that have volunteered their time to come there and judge all of the competitors.
Craig, now you're the current or you're reigning champion. Did they give you a sash and a tiara when you won?
I didn't get a sash, but I got a pretty big trophy. So
excellent, excellent.
That was good.
So you hang on to this trophy, I'm assuming, until the next Australian Championships.
Absolutely, yes. I've got 1 month. 1 month more with a large trophy, unless I can do it all over again and see and win it for a second year. But at the very least, I've got it for another month.
And I'm just wondering, it's nationally here. You know, Melbourne Food and Wine Festival is celebrating coffee. How do you think Australia ranks around the world? I know the previous competition was in Italy, I think, but where do you think Australia sits in the world of coffee?
I think Melbourne in particular, but Australia in general, is an outstanding espresso coffee culture. I think we're very, very advanced and there's... I think the best way to put it is that I think it's pretty easy to go out there and find a really good coffee, whereas you go around the rest of the world and you need to have someone recommend where to go. So I think there's just a lot of depth of knowledge and understanding and passion for making great coffee in Australia. So I think it's a fantastic place for coffee.
Yeah, great.
Ted.
Yes, this is Ted here. I just had a quick question. What do you do for preparation for the competition?
Well, I do the whole lot. So, I mean, I jump on the plane in 2 days and I'm going to go visit a farmer that we work with and we're going to talk about how he's processing my coffee for next year. It's about 12 months time lag in terms of talking with farmers. But so I visit
Craig, I hate to interrupt, and I know it's rude. Where is the farmer?
He's in El Salvador, my farmer, Emilio Lopez, in El Salvador. So, yeah, I've been visiting him for 3 years. So in terms of preparation, I guess I probably started 3 years ago and we talked about varietals and how I wanted the coffee processed. And then when it gets closer to the time, I do all of my own roasting as well. So a month or two out, I start roasting the coffee, working out the roast profile that works to have the most articulate flavours in the cup and behave itself for me. And then over all of that time, I guess you're putting together your routine because you have to present your coffees in 15 minutes And while there's only 12 coffees you have to present, and while making 12 coffees is probably not that tricky, the process of doing that under that level of scrutiny is quite difficult. So you really need to be able to rely on all of your mechanical processes and technique to be able to take care of itself so you can just focus on presenting them. So that's lots of practice and repetition and all that sort of stuff. Lots of coffee.
Remarkably scientific. Andrew, do you go through a similar process with your beans for the small batch company?
Absolutely, yeah. And as Craig too, there's going to be a lot of people going to Central America in particular over this next month to meet with producers, like Craig said, and also select coffee at the farm level rather than waiting for it to be imported and then select from a much smaller group of coffee upon arrival. Craig, a quick question for you, Craig, if I can.
Yeah.
Do you think there's any possibility that Amelia will be able to ship your coffee, this year's coffee, in time to use in May?
May, definitely.
Excellent.
Last year I was able to, it took us about 3 weeks to get it from him to me, so May is no problem. March might be a bit tricky. I've still got a couple of bags of the same coffee, and it's interesting how it's aged. You know, normally coffee doesn't travel so well once it's off the tree, but this one's held up, and it's quite interesting how it's developed.
Wonderful.
How difficult is it to keep that coffee in the condition you want it as it leaves El Salvador, obviously as a raw bean, gets to Melbourne in a Hessian bag, is then comes to you guys. What's the process from there? And I know, Andrew, we're going to talk about this a little later because you roast as well, but specifically for you, Craig, what is it about the way you roast that will make your coffees that little bit more nuanced to win a competition like this?
Look, I mean, I would say, you know, there's a lot of competitors are going to bring a very high level of coffee and skill. I think, a lot of the times it's just how it all behaves on the day. I mean, from my perspective, I think the thing that brings me confidence and inspires what I'm doing is that I've had a hand in the whole process other than the farming. So basically, once it's left the farm, the entire process is up to me, you know, selecting the coffee, shipping it, storing it, roasting it, tasting it, making it. But the entire process after it's left the farm is up to me, and I guess that level of transparency of understanding makes it easier to understand how to predict what it's going to do. I mean, I think everyone's coffee is going to be great. You know, I think it's just whether it's the person who has a great day is going to make some great coffee, and there's normally only a couple of points in difference between first and second. So,
sure. Now, I'm assuming this is at Code Black in Brunswick right now, the Victorian Championships. Is that right?
Absolutely. Started this morning, and latte art's underway as we speak, and tomorrow is Barista Championship.
So I'm assuming there's a lot of folk with, you know, black skinny jeans and knitted beanies hanging around Code Black in Brunswick.
There's quite a few beards and tattoos, yeah.
Craig, good to talk to you, mate. Thanks for joining us, and good luck again with this year's championships. Where's your home?
Say one more time.
Where's your home? Where do you make your coffee?
I work for Veneziano Coffee, which is in Abbotsford. So so the first pour there in Bond Street, Abbotsford, is where you can catch me every once in a while when I'm not on a plane travelling around the country.
Excellent. Good luck on your journey to El Salvador. And
thank you very much.
Don't get caught bringing back anything other than coffee from Central America. And,
absolutely not.
Good luck for the Australian Championships later this year.
Thanks, guys. Great to talk.
Good on you. That's Craig Simon. He is the Australian Barista Champion. I had a discussion a couple of weeks ago, which completely blew my mind, about another Melbourne Food and Wine Festival event, which is a barbecue event. And I learned that there are invitational brisket international competitions and all of that, the Jack Daniels trophies and blah, 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 that happened in America. And I just completely did my head in because I had no idea these things existed. Similarly with coffee, I didn't realise we had got to a level where there is a Victorian, Australian and international. I knew there was an international barista competition, but, you know, travelling to Central America, buying beans, looking at beans, talking to farmers, it's grown from a spoonful of international roast powder, which was my first taste of coffee and quite possibly my last instant coffee. How much this industry has grown in 10 years, Andrew?
Yeah, it is incredible. We say the same. We have the same reflection ourselves as people in the industry. Even in the last 3 years, even in the last 2 years, the things that we're talking about right now in terms of the theory of roasting, and in terms of also what happens at the production level, will again in this next few years bring a transformation.
And there's all this stuff that's coming from places like Japan. We're looking at pour-overs and siphon coffees. And now there's a lot of, and this is, I think, where chocolate will come into this again, Tad, is, yep. is coffee consumed cold as a match for food similar to wine. So I reckon that'll go perfectly with chocolate.
Absolutely.
And it's cold, so the chocolate's not going to melt.
Yep.
Mm. So there's those, again, those plays on texture and flavour in your mouth. It'll be incredible. Natalie, does it blow you away?
It does. And I think for me this year, one of the most exciting things is the Urban Coffee Farm. And in a lot of ways, what the festival's doing is creating the infrastructure to allow all of these incredible people working from baristas to roasters to people going to meet their producers to come together to really showcase what they do. So early last year, we had a young group of designers from Hassel, which is an internationally renowned firm, to put together this concept to create this space in the middle of the city. So it's Queensbridge Square. It has this natural terrace of the red stairs, which will create a great space for the trees. Mm. And essentially, it'll be there for the 17 days of the festival. And we just want people to come, meet friends, and use that as a meeting space for the festival. But it's really Melbourne's industry that's getting together to make it all happen.
Well, we're going to be back very shortly, and we're going to talk more about the Urban Coffee Farm and Brew Bar, because it's a very exciting installation, a world first. We'll be talking about it very shortly here on Cravings on Joy 94.9. My guest, Tad Lombardo, is here to help me ask the hard questions. Natalie O'Brien is here from the, she's the CEO of the Melbourne Food and Wine Festival, here to talk about all things Melbourne food and wine. Andrew Kelly's here from the Small Batch Coffee Company and Auction Rooms in North Melbourne. We're going to have a little break. I'm going to get my voice back, and we'll have a little song after these messages. It's 27 minutes past one here on Joy 94.9, the gayest station in the nation.
Joy 94.9.
Bonjour, I am Gabriel Gatte. You are listening to Cravings with Peter Dillon on Australia's only gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9.
Indeed you are, and we would love to hear from you. We are talking about chocolate and coffee today. Their marriage together is known already, but we're learning all about coffee and one of the great events that will be happening as part of the Melbourne Food and Wine Festival, which kicks off on the 1st of March. So you've got just 4 weeks before the festival starts. In the studio, Tad Lombardo from Cioccolato Lombardo is here to co-host. Natalie O'Brien is a voice you'll hear. She is the CEO of the Melbourne Food and Wine Festival, and Andrew Kelly from the Auction Rooms in North Melbourne and also the Small Batch Coffee Company. We've had a tweet, and of course we love your interaction with the program. And that tweet is from our very, very good friends at the Royal Mail, and I don't think we go a week without knowing that they're listening there. Cravings now talking Melbourne food and wine theme Earth. Chef Dan Hunter presents his connection with Earth in Dunkeld at Chef Jam on the 11th of March. So another really important event from the festival. That track, of course, was 5 years' time. That was from a group called Noah and the Whale, and it sort of leads me into my next question. We've seen an evolution of coffee in 5 years. Where will coffee be in 5 years' time, Andrew?
I'd really like to see coffee going the way that wine has. 20 years ago, people were still trying to figure out what they liked and what they didn't like, where they could identify certain flavours from and how those flavours were produced by producers. That process is just really beginning with coffee. One of the things that I think has prevented that or made it more difficult is that coffee is produced overseas. In the first stage, it's produced in the roasting facility here in the second stage. And people haven't really seen those two modes of production before. They've only seen the third stage of production, which is making it into a beverage in a cafe. So I think with a little bit more exposure, such as what will happen at the Urban Coffee Farm, we will get people engaging more and starting to trust what they taste.
Well, let's jump into this Urban Coffee Farm and Brew Bar for a minute, because I'd like to know a little bit more about what it's going to look like. It's at Queensbridge Square, and it's there for the duration of the festival, not at Federation Square, as I said at the start of this discussion. Natalie, what is this farm? What's the idea behind it, and what does it look like?
Yeah, I guess following on from what Andrew was saying, it's really about, I guess, bridging the gap from where the beans are coming from. Mm-hmm. And these beans have been sourced from Anna Cafe from Guatemala. So we heard last week the farmers were out, I guess, harvesting those beans, and then the whole transport across, because obviously we don't grow a lot of coffee trees, but we have actually sourced 25 large coffee trees that have been grown in New South Wales that are down in nurseries in Victoria ready to set up. So I guess we scoured the city and with the young Hassell designers came up with Queensbridge Square. The natural terrace, the red terrace there was a beautiful connection to what the trees might look like. And essentially what they've done is created a space where visitors and Melburnians can come together to share this coffee experience, but they're using all the materials that would be involved in transport. So containers, pallets, crates, etc. will be used. So all of those materials will be recycled back. And then Melbourne baristas have signed up a roster to be there for the 17 days of the festival. Top five Melbourne roasters will be roasting these beans when they arrive on our shores.
So any roasting on site?
No, there won't be, unfortunately.
Because it's too difficult, isn't it?
That's right.
Tad, you had a couple of questions.
Yes, Andrew, just a quick question. When you're looking for coffee for yourself and your business, what is it that you're looking for when you're traveling to these exotic places? And, you know, whether it's a processing or the way the product is grown, what is that?
Sure. Yep. There are so many facets. We look for producers we can work with in terms of being able to have a real connection with them. And those who are willing to be really transparent about the process of their process, their production. The main part of it, I suppose, is to put as many coffees on the table as possible. If possible, even to cup the coffee as it's harvested and processed daily. Through doing that, we can, over several days, cup sometimes 50, 60, 70 samples and identify those that are best. So that may be varietals, it may be particular lots that have very ripe cherries. Again, to summarize, so ripe cherries, good processing, and in the flavors in particular, clean, sweet coffees with a great finish and with flavors that are really identifiable. That's what we look for.
So the evolution of coffee is like the evolution of wine. 20 years ago, wine was a lot simpler. There were a lot less producers. And I guess 10 years ago, we saw a similar evolution in olive oil, in the production and processing of olive oil. We're there now we're well on the way now with coffee. How much credence is paid, particularly in places like Ethiopia and some of the central, the Eastern African nations, West African nations? Eastern African, my geography is all over the shop. I have to draw a little map. So those East African nations that are growing coffee, and likewise in Central America, organics or biodynamics, I'm sure, will play a part of it. But also the treatment of people who are picking the beans and in that part of the manufacture process or the growing process, how much attention is paid to the conditions that they work in?
Yeah, it's something we ask ourselves a lot when we visit. Just to take a step back, we talk about coffee producers, but it's seldom the stereotypical Pepe on his donkey story that we used to try and celebrate. The producers tend to be small business owners as much as anything, and we feel really strong parallels with them. They seldom themselves pick the cherries in most of the particularly Central American countries. They employ people, and it's true, and the welfare of those workers is very important. We look for producers that are willing to pay a day rate rather than a picking rate per size or kilos picked. In doing so, the pickers can pick the reddest, ripest cherries and traverse very steep hills without being concerned about the yield of their picking, more concerned with the quality of their picking.
And that's a question you asked earlier, Tad, about quality and quantity.
That's right. And, you know, how does that come into it? And even from a sustainability point of view, you know, that sort of thing that comes into chocolate as well as, you know, coffee, it's still a very manual process. There's no machinery and equipment that can pick it.
No, it's incredible. We definitely wonder where things will head in the next 10, 15 years there. The coffee is farmed on, or the plants grow on often very steep soils, very steep hills. And there is definitely no mechanical way now or in the future that you can imagine that will help alleviate the need for it to be hand-picked. And once again, to emphasize the quality of cherry selection, if you, in a single cup, were to have a slightly underripe or slightly overripe cherry, it will be very perceptible, will completely ruin the cup.
So would that be like it would be sour or it would be bitter or if it's overripe, what are we going to taste?
Underripe will be bitter, sour, and definitely overripe can be, you would tend to get more of a fruity ferment flavour,
okay,
like an off composty kind of flavour.
Sure.
With the overripes.
We're talking coffee and chocolate and all things earthy here on Cravings here on Joy 94.9. The Urban Coffee Farm and Brew Bar. What are people going to see at this venue at Queensbridge Square? What's some of the attractions, if you will, of wandering down and grabbing a coffee and wandering through the farm?
Yeah, Pete, I think it's going to be a surprising thing because there's going to be a lot of green. We've got 2,500 plants that complement the 25 coffee trees that are quite large. I guess you'd sort of think of coffee trees potentially being small, but they're quite high in stature. So there'll be lots of, it'll be a landscape, I think, a very green landscape with lots of pallets and the big containers. And we just want it to be a really open space where people can come and exchange ideas about what other events they're going to do at the festival, come together and use the space to meet, I guess, the people in the industry who are putting those coffees around not only Melbourne cafes but also regional Victoria.
We're going to come back and talk more about some of these wonderful things that you'll find at the Urban Coffee Farm and Brew Bar, part of the Melbourne Food and Wine Festival. Tad's going to talk some more about chocolate. Andrew's going to enlighten me some more about things that I'm not so knowledgeable about. Quick message, and we might have another quick track, which is another one of my favourite little songs, and we'll come back and spend another 10 minutes talking about coffee. This is Cravings here on Joy 94.9, 18 minutes to 2.
Joy 94.9.
That is the very beautiful Small Things by the Audreys. And interesting, we're talking about small things, in particular coffee beans and chocolate beans, here on Cravings on Joy 94.9. It's 13 minutes to 2, 0427 Joy 949. Do send a text message if you so wish. You can email onair@joy.org.au. You can phone 1300-JOY-949 or you can tweet to cravings_Joy949. Don't forget, there is a midsummer event on at Brimbank, the Brimbank Council Family Fun Day. There's a whole bunch of fun going on out there at Brimbank. Face painting, balloons, dogs, all the stuff you'd expect at a family event. And of course, we're not talking biological family. It could be your logical family, your big GLBT family. If you're listening in the West, get down to Buckingham Reserve at Buckingham Crescent at West Sunshine. So that's that event. Do pop down and say hello. Tad?
Yes.
You were talking before about the interest that you have in the Food and Wine Festival.
Absolutely. It's this time of year, there seems to be a buzz in the air whenever the Melbourne Food and Wine Festival rolls around. And with the release of the new guide for this year, Natalie, you and your team must be very excited about, you know, the culmination of a year's full of work and now it's coming together.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the thing is that the minute you pack up one festival, you're already thinking about what can be part of the next festival. And I think one of the most kind of, I guess, the special things about the festival for me are the exchanges. So over the years, we've had incredible chefs and young chefs being mentored by, you know, world-class chefs, mm-hmm. Australian chefs coming together to do incredible things. And for me, every year in the festival, it's the excitement about the friendships and the exchange that happens. And I guess the coffee festival and the Urban Coffee Farm rather will be an example of bringing a lot of firsts together.
Well, it is a world first installation, and there's some stuff happening, Andrew, that I know gets you very excited.
Yeah, it's very rare that we have fresh crop coffee that's been selected very carefully so that we have really interesting comparisons of processing methods and varietals, and then air freighted within, you know, weeks of it being harvested and processed and roasted by five different roasters. And then we're going to obviously showcase it at the brew bar at the Urban Coffee Farm. There'll be, as you said, cycles of baristas from leading cafes operating that brew bar. It'll be a great opportunity for the public to taste different coffees.
So what we're going to witness in this installation is essentially from seedling to the cup. So everything that goes on between and the extraordinary processes that do go into producing coffee.
Exactly. There'll be some workshops there which will be both public oriented and industry oriented, which will really make that point, I suppose, clearer as well. Yeah.
And Natalie, this sort of comes back to the festival, now 21 years old, so having its grown up 21st birthday.
Absolutely.
The festival is great. I mean, you've been at the helm for 12 years and the growth has been extraordinary, but the new things, the exciting stuff that you've been able to bring to Melbourne, and I sort of, it jumps on Tad's point, Melbourne is a buzz for this festival, and it's, you know, it sort of sits between a couple of other major festivals, so the timing is perfect. What is it for you, your own very own personal experience, that just keeps you energised to keep doing this year after year?
Gosh, Pete, that's really hard. Look, I think for me, it's the incredible industry that we have here in Victoria who absolutely love what they do. And whether that's growing potatoes or producing olive oil or, you know, at the helms, at the dishwashers, this industry that we have in this state is just extraordinary. And the 250 events of the program are in fact curated by the industry themselves. And I know when I talk to the arts industry, they have one art director or one creative director. Is we're just so incredibly lucky to have, you know, 200-300 creators which are actually coming from industry themselves. And that's hugely exciting. And I think where Melbourne sits on a world stage, we should be all very, very proud. Melbourne, Victoria is an incredible food wine state.
At the risk of sounding like a wanker, I spoke to Marco Pierre White last week and on the program, and he said that he's been absolutely blown away by the strength of the industry here and our comparison to cities like London and New York.
Yeah, I think it's the thing that the collaboration. I think the Urban Coffee Farm's an example of that. We've seen so many of it that we come together for a cause and we've all got this passion. And I think the other thing is that the consumers drive it as well. We all have conversations about where we're getting our favourite coffee. We don't just get the coffee at the closest place to our office.
No.
It's a bit of a brag factor about where I'm going to get my coffee from. So I think, you know, the combination of an incredibly vibrant, passionate industry and discerning consumer makes a wonderful food and wine state.
And some of the things that we've been introduced to just in the last couple of years, you know, young, exciting chefs like Stevie Pyle who are doing incredible things across Europe and the Middle East and opening these pop-up restaurants in furniture stores that run for a week and, you know, being able to sustain that. And a couple of years ago with the Jelly Boys from London with Bompas and Parr, jelly being the whole new thing and installations made entirely of jelly. I mean, these are things that can only make our industry stronger, boys and girls.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, our homegrown talent is so inspiring and the
Absolutely.
Connections, you know, we were just hearing from Craig earlier about him meeting his producer, et cetera. I think it's such a global world and Melbourne and Victorian chefs are so connected with other industry people and producers right across the world. And it's a pretty exciting place to be.
Andrew, you'd agree. You're sitting there nodding your head.
Yes, I'm nodding strongly. I think that we've got a really interesting situation in Melbourne, particularly where everyone's kind of egging everyone else on. There's a I guess a momentum of I don't know, someone help me out here, vocabulary is struggling, but
well, it's almost like there's a little bit of a pissing contest or mine's bigger than yours, and so there is that very healthy
only
competition.
You could put it that way.
So beautifully put, so eloquently put. It's the competition is there to encourage one another to get better or to do better or to find new ways to be innovative.
But do you also feel too, I mean, I've lived in Australia now for 17 years, and when I first arrived here, I mean, obviously things were still developing in the food industry, and it seemed that the industry sort of looked to the outside of Australia for inspiration, and now that's changing. The outside is looking into Australia and Melbourne in particular for inspiration and for new trends and things like that.
Absolutely. And I think that's my favourite part of the festival is the exchange. And, you know, whether it's over a coffee or a wine or a cocktail or a beer or a meal, that incredible exchange. And I think it's what you're saying, Andrew. We kind of, you know, we push each other to the next boundary and the next idea. And that kind of convivial conversation, I think, is incredible.
Some of the things I'm looking forward to, I know the world's longest lunch is already sold out. That's being put together by Maggie Beer and Stephanie Alexander. There's a wonderful collaboration. The Salador and Artisan Market, which is happening around the CBD, South Yarra, at Como House. That's Saturday 2nd and Sunday the 3rd of March. It's pretty cheap. We're going to talk in a few weeks, Natalie, about some of the free events. But some, you know, extraordinary chefs and as you mentioned, our local chefs, people like Matthew Evans, who's got his show on SBS, but is a former food critic and has an extraordinary knowledge, is coming to play. Teague Ezard, those sorts of fellows that have been integral to the growth of our industry over the last 10 years will all be hanging around. And some of the experiences, I wish we had more time. I've got pages in front of me of some of the experiences that will happen, but come back in a couple of weeks, so just before the festival starts, and we'll talk about some of those experiences that people can have.
Gorgeous. That'd be wonderful. And I would just suggest that people get a copy of the program.
Now, where can you get a copy?
Well, the best place is the Visitor Information Centre in the city.
At Fed Square.
Fed Square.
Yep.
And a number of hotels have it, but also Paran Market. They're all around Paran Market and Essential Ingredient. If not, you can download the whole program online, but grab a coffee and you really need to look through it yourself.
Oh, it's something to go through over the whole weekend, I think.
Absolutely.
No other way to do it. You can go to the website, which is melbournefoodandwine.com.au. Download the program. Tandy, people want to know more about your chocolates or indeed where they can get them because they're very rare.
They are rare, yeah. I'm normally at the Paran Market on Saturdays. I'm not there today, obviously.
Because you're here.
Because I'm here. And other than that, online,
yep.
Chocolatolombardo.com or .com.au, either one of those.
Mm-hmm. And even if you Google Tad Lombardo, you'll find his chocolates.
Absolutely.
And his website, and do check them out because they're delicious.
Thank you.
Auction Rooms and Small Batch Coffee Company, people can find you online also.
In a very meagre way. We're working on that. You have to come to North Melbourne at the moment, pretty much.
So go to the Auction Rooms, which are on what street, Errol?
Errol Street, 103 to 107.
And it's that sort of that Flemington Road end.
That's
of Errol
right, just
Street.
Beyond the strip. Mm.
Go and check them all out. And, of course, make sure you engage with the Melbourne Food and Wine Festival. It's like my Christmas every year, and I think it should be like yours as well. We're almost time to go. The boys from Fender Bender are revving up outside, but we're a few minutes to go here on Cravings on Joy 94.9, 4 minutes to two.
Joy 94.9.
Hi, I'm Manny Feldel, and you are with Pete Dillon on Cravings on Joy 94.9.
Thank you, Manu. And of course, don't forget, there's lots of food happening on television as well. So I'm sure your favourite station has wonderful food. In the next little while, we are going to be talking The Great Australian Bake Off, which is a new show coming to television. All sorts of people involved in that. So that's going to be in a little while. Next week is all about diabetes and nutrition. So, Tad, probably just as well you're not here next week, but you're
be.
Here today. Tad Lombardo, thank you for joining me. And
thank you.
Continued success with Chocolate.
Thank you very much.
Natalie O'Brien, we'll see you back in a few weeks to talk more about the Melbourne Food and Wine Festival.
I look forward to it.
And Andrew, thank you for joining us. Your knowledge of coffee has been an invaluable part of today's program.
It's been great to be here. Thanks, Peter.
Tune in tomorrow from 1 o'clock because myself and the very lovely Serena Ryan, my co-host of Salt and Pepper on Tuesday night at 7 o'clock here on Joy 94.9, will bring you the wonderful diversity and fun that is, of course, the Pride March, sadly, the closing day of midsummer. So we'll be with you from 1 o'clock on your wireless, telling you all about the wonderful community organisations that are marching as part of Pride March. Coming up very shortly, the boys from Fender Bender will be joining you to talk all things vehicular and cars. No doubt they'll be popping themselves onto the back of a vehicle, I imagine in a frock, to head up Fitzroy Street tomorrow. I also need to make a very brief mention. The very clever boys at Fitzrovia on Fitzroy Street in St Kilda, Paul and Marco, two gorgeous fellows that are part of our big family, have come up with the LGBT sandwich that you can enjoy tomorrow. Go in and check one out because I can assure you they are particularly good, and they've made the LGBT sandwich just for Pride March. I've been Pete Dillon. This is Cravings here on Joy 94.9. I will be back next Saturday, but as I said, tune in tomorrow from 1 o'clock and we'll bring you Pride March from Fitzroy Street in St Kilda. Have a very, very pleasant afternoon. The boys from Fender Bender are coming, and this is the first song they've chosen. I don't know if you like it, but I do. Cheers, bye.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.